Hello, everybody. This is about Sheikh Hasina. So Sheikh Hasina was Prime Minister of Bangladesh for, I think, 12 years. Now, she was ousted by huge-scale protests several months ago. So she fled the country. Now, she still has her supporters in her political party. So she has been found guilty and sentenced to death before a special tribunal, tried in absentia because she went to India. Now, despite Narendra Modi being accused of being anti-Muslim, he gave her asylum. The Republic of India and Bangladesh had managed to have a very cordial relationship under her. So there were large-scale protests. The police opened fire on the protests. Sometimes there were actually riots. 1,400 people died. Now, I don't know the particulars of every single death, and I realise the police are entitled to use force, minimum force, sometimes the minimum force to keep themselves safe, the public safe, is killing someone. So the police have got to be reluctant to do that. Now, if a police officer kills someone in good faith, believing that this was necessary to keep himself, herself, the public safe, that police officer shouldn't be, you know, charged with murder, as sometimes the case. In the United Kingdom, even the guy was acquitted of the murder of Chris Cubber, he's still facing infernal disciplinary procedures for doing his duty, for trying to save himself and his colleagues. Wow, who on earth would be a police firearms officer? I know in most countries like Bangladesh, every police officer carries a gun. But 1,400 does seem very, very high. And independent observers, human rights organizations, journalists and so on, and certainly the opposition say that the force used was grossly excessive. It was completely disproportionate to the threat posed. And all right, maybe in a small proportion of those cases, the police is needed to do to that, and it was justifiable. But most cases, seems to me, it wasn't. And yes, she didn't order them to pull the trigger every single time, but she was the ultimate authority. She didn't try and restrain them. She didn't say they're going to be disciplined. If you kill someone illegally, then you're going to stand charged, not for murder, not for manslaughter, and so forth. There are loads of things she was doing long before that. So Sheikh Hasina has said the ruling was biased and politically motivated. Now, there might be some truth in that, but I mean, I don't doubt the gravamen of the case against her. So there she is living in India. Now, the worry for her is, what if there's a thaw in relations between Dhaka and Delhi? She might be extradited and sent home to stand trial. So no one has been prime minister of Bangladesh for as long as she has. So there's high security. So anyway, she's been hoisting her own petard. She set up a court in 2010 to bring to justice those who'd committed war crimes in 1971. Remember, Bangladesh used to be East Pakistan. So Bangladesh, almost entirely Bengali speaking, mostly Sunni Muslim, a small Hindu minority, used to be not quite so small. So her family was involved in that uprising to break away from Pakistan and establish Bangladesh as being Bengali nation in the Bengali language. They didn't really seem to reconsider rejoining India. They'd left India only 24 years earlier. And West Bengal is one of the states of India, which is also Bengali speaking, which has got almost the same population as Bangladesh. West Bengal, of course, is overwhelmingly Hindu. Anyway, is this going to change things for the Awami League, her party? Awami meaning people. She's still the leader of the Awami League, but so is in the doldrums, but there are some people who will speak up for her. Now, so Bangladesh has formally requested her extradition and to face a charge of contempt of court, but India hasn't even said anything about that. So the court wouldn't even allow the media in Bangladesh to publish what she was saying that it was provocative, likely to provoke public disorder. The Awami League said this is an abridgment of civil liberty. Now, that's rather rich coming from them, considering she very much restricted civil liberty in her day. But so now, not everybody in Bangladesh wanted independence from Pakistan. Now, particularly some of those who came from Bihar. There's a partition of India in 1947 to create a homeland for Muslims called Pakistan. Now, many Indians, including some Indian Muslims, are against this. And so those who are closer to West Pakistan, today's Pakistan, go west. Those who are closer to East Pakistan go east. So in Bihar, that state in north central India, there was a significant Muslim minority, let's say 20%. And some of them moved to East Pakistan because they're closer to the east than the west, Bihari being their language. and some of them never learned Bengali. So when it came to the idea of Bangladesh breaking away from Pakistan, the Bharatis have said, no, we believe in Pakistan. We gave up everything in India to move here. We're going to fight to maintain the unity of Pakistan. And they lost. And then there were some people who were Bengali, often Islamic fundamentalists, say this is divisive of Islam. We've got to stay together with our Muslim brethren in West Pakistan. They're often known as Razakar, which I think in Urdu is volunteer. It's become an insult in Bangladesh ever since. So anyway, the war ended. That was it. And then her father was Prime Minister, Isni Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, who was assassinated a few years later. Ironically, the other party, the Bangladesh National Party, the BNP, was led by a woman as well, but who was the widow of someone else's assassinated. Won't go into it. Those who'd fought for Pakistan were severely discriminated against. But mostly, they didn't prosecute people. They let bygones be bygones. But there they were, 39 years later, start prosecuting some people, and some people were executed for what they'd done. Because I know every army kills civilians, and there are psychopaths in every country. Therefore, there's psychopaths in every army, and it brings out the worst in people. People are enraged by the death of their friends. They just see red. They want to exact vengeance and so on. Often civilians are killed, deliberately killed, and that's murder. For one soldier to kill another soldier in a combat situation, that's not murder, and it doesn't make him or her a bad person, whichever side he's on, whether the cause is good or evil. Soldiers are entitled to kill others in military action. But willfully killing civilians, knowing them to be civilians, when it's not coincidental to a legitimate military attack, that is murder. And that went on a lot in Bangladesh, as well as rape on a very large scale. Perhaps the most prolific war rape of all time. And the Pakistani army seemed to say, well, they're spoils of war. And when American and British diplomats protest about this, they say that they cheerily admitted and say, but what are you so fussed about? I mean, they're not your women. So, like, you just shut up. This is, they consider this par for the course. Now, I'm absolutely not saying that every Pakistani soldier did, or even most, but it was a significant minority. And Pakistan even published a report into it years later, confirming most of the accusations. And yes, the casualty figures may be inflated, but the overall truth is there, that at least tens of thousands of Bangladeshi civilians were deliberately murdered, not collateral damage as part of military action. That is beyond dispute. And so some people were finally prosecuted after 2010. But now this very tribunal is being used against her. So she requested asylum in various other countries, Sheikh Hasina, and not been sent back. There are other things. I mean, her opponents were often disappeared by the intelligence agency, not legally arrested, no habeas corpus, not facing trial, just grabbed off the street, kidnapped, and nobody knew where they were for years. Some of them finally come out of their fetid dungeons. Some of them were murdered in custody. So that's it. So she is certainly a bad woman. And yes, a few good things did go on, and there was some economic growth and so on. But Bangladesh is sort of racing to stand still. Population explosion is not rising as fast as it used to be. It's not economically, it's not kept up with India, something like that. So they border Myanmar as well. They have a fairly cordial relationship with China. They dare not lean too much towards China because that would offend India, which is their major neighbor and trade partner. So it suits India to not have to worry about Bangladesh and almost demilitarize that border. So you're going to have most of its forces facing Pakistan. Well, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then PayPal, georgecallard79@gmail.com. Goodbye.